Our guest in studio is Joe Norton, and on the phone we'll be joined by Ghislain Picard of the AFNQL. And so first, Joe, thank you for joining us in studio.
My pleasure.
And there was a press conference today to announce the First Nations Count Day of Action. Can you tell us, last Friday you sort of alluded to it a bit on the show, can you tell us exactly what the plan is right now for the First Nations Count Day of Action?
Well, we met on Tuesday, I think it was, here in Ganawage over at the Nizak, the offices, not so much, but at the AFNQL office that's located there. There was on or about 20 representatives from different parts of Quebec that came to the meeting. And we're talking about, you know, what are we going to do in terms of the upcoming election to highlight our situation, ours meaning
and
the Native people.
And you're referring to the federal election that's coming up.
The federal election that's coming up. And making sure that, you know, we send a clear message out there. I basically said, look, I said, this is not about parties. This election is not about parties. It's not about the Liberals. It's not about the NDP. It's not about the Green Party. It's not about the Conservatives. It's about Canadians and who they're going to vote for. So we should be sending a message clearly to Canadians, expressing that it doesn't matter who you elect. In some instances, or in particular, you know, this situation, but it's more being able to provide them with a snapshot, if you will, of what First Nations are capable of doing in this country, more specifically in Quebec, and then more specifically in Ganawage. You know, you look at it from that point of view, and making it clear that, you know, we are totally dissatisfied with the relationship between Canada and First Nations in this country here, which incidentally reminded him also that it is our country, even more so than it is theirs. There's been that constant struggle, you know, over time that, you know, they came, they colonized, and basically they took over, and it's theirs. Lock, stock, and barrel. We have to follow their laws. We have to give in to anything and everything that they want to do. So we had to make it clear that we're not going to put up with this. We were treated very irrelevantly in the if there is such a word as that, in the federal campaign at this point in time, when, on the other hand, we should have been mentioned very prominently as the landowners and getting Canadians in general to realize that there's an issue here that is being totally ignored. So how do we make ourselves relevant? How do we send a clear message? And that is the only tool that we have is to demonstrate. We can vote all we want. You know, we can get in there, promote, and say this is the party that we're voting for. But in the end, what does it come down to? It's not meaningless, but it doesn't take us anywhere. So we have to demonstrate our existence, even though we shouldn't have to. We're not a nuisance, in other words. We are a reality, and Canadians better understand that and better understand it quick. And the only way we can do that is by demonstrating rallies and all of that. So based on that discussion that we had on, I believe it was this past Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, We came up with a plan, and the plan is to have a massive rally, a demonstration, downtown Montreal. Effective immediately, the request was made to be able to get a permit to hold such a rally. And as of this morning, we found out that there is confirmation that we are going to have the rally. So be that as it may, we still have to look at Ganawage and what are we going to do here. I think we should do something concurrently with what's going on in Montreal and here in Ganawage, and that's next Friday, October 9th. And we've sent that message right across the country too. We've said to others, participate, be part of this, And, you know, you can, if we can't do it concurrently all at the same time, at least from the 9th to the 19th, the election date, is begin to start doing things to show that we can do things in the future that can disrupt the way of life in Canada. And one of the messages that I wanted to send very clearly was basically internationally also. Internationally, say to the world, the countries that Canada deals with politically, economically, and whatever else, say to them very clearly that Canada, first and foremost, must deal with matters internally with the First Nations, the Indigenous people that live here, that this is their country, more so than it is Canada's country.
So do you propose appealing to the international community, maybe through the United Nations or any other?
It's not an appeal. We don't appeal. What we do is make it clear that this is our country and that you're going to do business with Canada politically and whatever else. And if we're not happy, then you're not going to be happy either trying to do business here.
Do you have any concrete plans on how you're going to tell the rest of the international community that?
Well, that's the thing that we begin to work on now. So prior to the elections, that's the information that's going to go out. We didn't say anything to begin with. We didn't plan for that because, first and foremost, we wanted to mobilize ourselves. We wanted to make sure that people, that our brothers and sisters across the country were prepared to do something like this. If not totally, then at least here in what is known as Quebec, we would rally ourselves. We'd send a clear message out there, you know, both to Canadians, Americans, and internationally about the circumstances here. Some similar situations arose way back when in 1990, when messages were sent out internationally and people came forth and supported what we were doing here. So we're looking for the same kind of approach and the same kind of thinking in 25 years later, but, you know, circumstances haven't changed very much. We don't have the military surrounding us. We don't have all those kinds of things happening. But certainly we're under economic sanction by this country.
Okay. For those of you just tuning in a little bit late, our guests today, we have Joe Tuquierto-Norton in studio with us right now. We're going to take a quick break and we'll get back with the rest of our guests. We're speaking about the First Nations Count Day of Action and some of the plans that are taking place in order for Gunawage and the larger First Nations community surrounding Montreal to participate in that. Stay tuned and we will be right back. And we're back on the K103.7 FM Party Line Talk Show for Friday, October 2nd, 2015. My guests in studio, it's a full studio, everybody. It's not often this happens. We have Gunawage's very own Grand Chief, Joe Tuquierto-Norton. We're also joined by AFNQL Chief Ghislaine Picard, as well as Atikamekw First Nation Chief Constant Awashish. I want to welcome you all to our studios. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about the First Nations Count Day of Action. It was announced today, and maybe we can start with you, Constant. Just maybe introduce yourself to everybody listening and give us a picture of what your community's like, where it is, who you represent.
Okay. Well, my name is Constant Awashish, and I'm the Grand Chief of the Atikamekw Nation. Atikamekw Nation are basically around the middle of Quebec, the province of Quebec. In the river of St. Maurice River, that's how they call it. But in our language, it's Tapsquansibi. I represent three communities, Obidjuan, Umontashi, and Manawan, as well as all the members outside of the communities, because we have a member everywhere. We have a member here in Montreal, Three Rivers, Trois-Rivières, Quebec, Robertville, Chicoutimi, Santerre, and that's what I represent, and the people here too.
Okay. So we're talking about the First Nations Count Day of Action. Ghislaine, can you give us an idea of why this is important for all First Nations, maybe not just in Quebec, but, you know, across the country, and why this is so important to initiate?
Well, it is, I think, firsthand, you know, a big challenge. I think it's really a challenge that we take on as First Nations in this region to try to mobilize our peoples. And you know, I know the whole issue of the vote itself and the turnout at the polls is a very sensitive issue in Quebec. It has been for, you know, so many elections before that. And we want to go beyond that. And I feel that, you know, although this campaign has been the longest, you know, in Canadian history, not very much or very little has been said about, you know, our issues. And I think, you know, we still have maybe a little more than 2 weeks to make a difference and have the parties commit. And, it, you know, we all realize and know, you know, what the record is of the outgoing government. I think we all realize that. Anyone who follows social networks will know that, you know, our people are tired. But at the same time, this is an election, and there are parties, you know, running, you know, for the race, wanting to be elected. And I think for those of our people who have chosen to exercise that right to vote, then certainly they don't deserve less than to know where the parties stand on their issues. But also, I think it's there's a bigger issue of trying to find the best, you know, basis to restore the relationship with the Crown. I think we all agree that although we might have different views in terms of how self-determination should actually happen in this country when it comes to our nations and peoples, the way that we go about it is still, you know, a subject of debate amongst our nations. But at the same time, I think, you know, that relationship has to be reestablished in the right way. And that's really what we're wanting to say. Mobilizing the troops in Quebec is one issue. It's one challenge. But we want to go beyond that and try to find a way to also, you know, get the word out and spread the word, you know, with our sister nations across the country.
So here in Ganawage, we generally don't encourage, you know, other Mohawks to go out and vote. In your community, Constance, are your people being encouraged to vote and participate in the election? Is that the approach that you guys are hoping to take?
Personally, me, I'm for the voting. And this, I understand the other people's point of view. You know, I've been, I've always been thinking about that question for a long time. But when I look around, mostly in my where I'm from, we don't control the land. We don't. Yeah, we could somehow. Control it by if we start blocking stuff and the government gets shaky and that's when they come start to talk to us, but in the end we never get what we want. Like but it's I know it's a big issue, it's a big debate, we could talk for a long time, understand the other point of view, but me personally I think it's time for us to show that we gotta wait in this election. We got mass population that's growing up in Canada, and I think it's time for us to try to get in that train and try to change it from the inside or something like that. You know, everywhere around the world, if I don't know, a government is not working in the same way as what you're thinking or what you want, what they do, what other country do, they try to go in and they put their people in and try to change from the inside. And I think that's what we got to start thinking too. It's just, where are we today? Our rights are restraining more and more. Even though, we can fight. We've been fighting and fighting. But the reality is that our rights are being restrained, and that's dangerous for us. So, I think we got to try to do something, and maybe just for this one, I don't know. We'll see what's going to be the result, but I think we need to do a move this time.
Right now in the media, we're hearing, you know, a lot about the campaign and also a lot about Quebec and how, you know, right now it looks like Quebec may be a major deciding factor on which party is going to be elected come the federal election on October 19th. Ghislaine, what position is the AFNQL taking? Are you encouraging First Nations people to vote or thinking more along the lines of demonstrating a need for First Nations issues to be recognized?
Well, what I would say is, out of respect for, you know, the position I have, and out of respect for the positions that Grand Chief Norton has and Grand Chief Awashish, I have to, you know, remain neutral, you know, in that call. And I think that's the best approach that, you know, I can take at this point in time. And to me, you know, both sides of the argument are you know, in a way valid, because, you know, we're sitting, the three of us here, and, you know, this is two generations. And the discourse has not changed in the last 30 years. We have a constitution that was applauded, you know, in the early 80s as the, you know, being the first of its kind around the world. But what has happened, you know, on the ground? I mean, there's a big difference. We're still very much, you know, far in terms of the Human Development Index, you know, across the globe. You know, our people rank around 68 according to that index, and so things have to change. But at the same time, I think we also have to engage, you know, amongst ourselves in that debate as to what is the proper place for our nations. You know, the right to vote was, you know, given in 1960, but no one individual within our communities was asked if they wanted to be Canadian. You know, because that's what it entails. And to me, right there and then, you know, the state, the Canadian state has, you know, failed, you know, major has in terms of that that one issue. So I think there needs to be that discussion. It's healthy for our peoples to come together and, you know, discuss, you know, that fundamental issue. But we also understand that it's not going to be settled, you know, this time around with this election. But I think we have to provide ourselves with the space to do it, because it's far more too important. It should, you know, it's going to have an influence as to how we engage not only the guests, the next government, but, you know, the governments to follow in the future.
All right. For those of you tuning in, our guests in studio today on the K103.7 FM Party Line Talk Show are Grand Chief Joe Norton from Gunawage. We also have AFNQL Chief Ghislain Picard. And also joining us in studio is Grand Chief Constant Awashish of Atikamekw. And we're talking about the First Nations Count Day of Action that's coming up. We're going to come back and provide you with some more details in just a minute.
Skana Sewakwego, K Askadewanyawa Dana Asa FM Gunawage.
And we're back on the K103.7 FM Party Line Talk Show. I'm your guest host, Jessica Erstreich. Sitting in studio with me today, we have Grand Chief Joe Tequiro Norton, as well as Chief of Atikamekw, Constant Awashish, and AFNQL, Chief Ghislain Picard. We're talking about the First Nations Count Day of Action, which was announced earlier on today at a press conference. Gentlemen, maybe one at a time, what are some of the issues that you want highlighted to the Canadian population through the First Nations Count Day of Action? What do you want to make them aware of?
Maybe I'll go first. But we all know our issues. We all know all the problem we got. We all know that with there's a disparity between our life, the way we live, and the general population. We're way below what, in general, the right way of life here, I can say. Me, what I want to highlight is, we've been asking questions by journalism and all that today, and they always say, is it, why they never talk about Aboriginal issues? Is that because you guys don't represent enough people to vote, or maybe because you guys don't participate enough when to the voting? Is that why they don't really care about you guys? Me, I was thinking when I heard that, I was like, they really mind about the number of voting instead of trying to create a better Canada where everybody is involved, where everybody is a winner. That's what I was thinking. All they think about is the voting instead of thinking create something better for everybody. That's what I wanted to highlight about what I be. They always focus on those number of vote that they getting and why they're ignoring the First Nation. Why they think about that? They should be thinking what's best for Canada, what's best for everybody, what's best for First Nation. So that's, I think people are like, they don't know what to really where to go, I guess. That's what it is. That's what I think, anyway.
According to the newest data from the National Household Survey, Aboriginals in Canada represent 4.3% of the Canadian population. That doesn't mean 4.3% of the voting population either. Is it possible that the population is so small that the parties don't feel like these issues need to be addressed? Because prior to the election starting, we were hearing a lot about missing and murdered Indigenous women. We were hearing a lot about Truth and Reconciliation and the residential schools. And since then, we haven't been hearing about those issues in the greater media. Is this part of their strategy?
If that's the case, that's just a comfort what I just said. Eh? They just were what matter for them is to get the vote. And I think I'm starting to agree with Grand Chief Norton here. We're going to have to go internationally and make people know what's going on here.
All right.
Yeah, well maybe what I could add to that is... yes, you have those numbers, but as well something else to me that is very significant is the fact that in the next 25 years, our population will almost double, which is also very significant, and which really says as well that our situation is unique. I mean, there's nobody else that can claim the type of relationship as we do, as First Nations Indigenous peoples in this country. And to me, it also speaks about the fact that when we talk about engaging, government, we speak about engaging the Crown. And, just the Crown itself has even more, a more broader significance than just talking to one government or one party. And that's where, to me, the Canadian state, the state of Canada, has to be challenged. And why it is important for us to make this move today and to say that First Nations count, I think it is important, and it's really upon us as, Grand Chiefs and Chiefs to also explain to our own peoples, where we stand and where we need their support. It's one thing for one chief, protesting or marching, the streets of Montreal, but we need, that show of strength from our peoples as well. But for that, and in order for that to happen, then they have to understand, why they're rallying and mobilizing.
To the approach that I've been thinking about and looking at is, why is it that we always have to prove our existence constantly, all the time? We're always having to say, this is who we are, and, this is our territory, this is our land. We should be using the reverse now and questioning Canada about their existence, whether or not, their view of history and the whole way they've attempted to take over this country, make it theirs, and pushing us aside, taking all the land and the resources. We should be saying, you should be proving to us your legitimacy. That's the way our thinking should go. Everything that we do, every challenge that we make should be in that context, rather than us now as it is. We always have to prove, we always have to show. We always have to walk into the courts and battle for what we believe is our culture, our history, and our rights to land and everything else. Where in fact, now in recent times, the very idea of Crown land is now becoming challenged more and more, and the Aboriginal title to land is becoming prominent. It's taking its rightful place, and that's using their law. Okay, arguing what they've put in place, and that's reversing on them. So politically, we've got to start pushing back in that context. And this is one of the opportunities that we have. When people say, "Well, why are you going to march in downtown Montreal? Why are you going to perhaps slow down traffic here in Ganawaga, in other parts of Canada?" And as Ghislain pointed out, we have to start educating ourselves on what kind of power we have, what kind of strengths that we have. And those are one of the things that we start pushing back and saying to Canada, you prove to us your existence. Where the heck did you guys come from? And how did you take over? Even your constitution, which was repatriated 1982, you know, suddenly you became now a country officially. Even in there, you inherited, you know, under Section 35(1) and other sectors of the Constitution, you inherited a responsibility to carry on what the Crown had established with our people way back when, that we are allies, we are not subjects, and that we have a very unique relationship with you, as Ghislain has pointed out. Very unique anywhere in the world in that context. And now is the time to start educating Canadians about that, but educating ourselves about that too.
All right. So back around the end of 2012 and into 2013, we've seen a lot of movement within Aboriginal communities, more known as, you know, the Idle No More movement, related to as a response towards the Omnibus Bill C-45. And a lot of times in the media, it seemed like First Nations were being scapegoated in a lot of ways as, you know, trying to stop something like Bill C-45 that the government was trying to say was a positive thing for Canadians. How do you feel like the Day of Action is going to maybe circumvent that image that the government has been portraying First Nations people as, you know, a stumbling block, as an obstacle to Canada's economic growth?
Well, we're just ringing the alarm for all Canadians. You know, we're First Nation. Yes, we have rights. Yeah, we have issues. We try to get people sensibilized about our issues. We want Canadians to understand what's going on with us. But they got to understand, too, that something's going on with them. Our rights are restrained, but as well as to their rights, too. So that's what people got to understand. And that march is a Pacific march, and we'll try to make sure that people understand that if we win, they're going to win too. So we got to work together. For sure, we cannot kick them out of here. But we got to find something, a partnership, a new partnership, reconciliation, and start to work, build a future that where we're going to, everybody's going to have a place in this future.
It's a good point because, you know, as a Grand Chief of the Atikamek Nation, you know, they've gone through decades of, forestry operations within their territory without any say, without any benefits. And to me, it goes back to what Grand Chief Norton was saying earlier. I mean, the table has to be turned. You know, it should be the end of where the onus is on us, and it should be, the onus should be, you know, on the other side. And that's what we haven't seen in recent years. And to me, it is really upon us as nations and leaders and chiefs and grand chiefs, not only in this region, but across the country, you know, to have that common understanding that, you know, there's only one way to engage with this government, and it's to stand tall, to stay the course as nations, and to be in a position where we set our conditions rather than, you know, the other side doing it for us. And to me, that's what needs to change. So it's an issue of, you know, changing our own view and mentality on things. And I think it's really this march itself. Yes, it is a challenge, but it's really, you know, a challenge for ourselves as well, and, you know, where we stand, because obviously the Atikamek Nation is no longer in a position to tolerate, you know, what they view as a situation where they're completely set aside. You know, they have to be part of the solution, and the only way to do that is for them to, you know, stand, you know, their ground on many issues, including, you know, the exploitation of natural resources.
All right. So our guests in studio today on the K103.7 FM Party Line Talk Show are Gunawaga Grand Chief Joe Norton, as well as AFNQL Chief Ghislain Picard, and Grand Chief of the Atikamek First Nation, Constance Awashish. We're going to take a very brief commercial break, and then we will be right back. Please don't go anywhere.
I like what he said.
This week's K103 Radio Bingo Jackpot is a monster. The Game 8 Full Card Jackpot is worth $10,000. Come and stop by the K103 Radio Bingo Boutique or any of our Radio Bingo distributors and pick up your packages for this monster bingo. This Friday, 7:30 p.m. To win $10,000, you've got to play K103's Radio Bingo because it's the hottest game in town.
Back on the K103.7 FM Party Line Talk Show, and we're talking about the First Nations Count Day of Action. We have three guests in studio. We have Ganawage's Grand Chief Joe Norton, accompanied by Atikamek First Nation Chief Constant Awashish and AFNQL Chief Ghislaine Picard. So, First Nations Count Day of Action. What are you hoping to see across the province, Ghislaine?
Well, you know, this really happened very fast. Although, you know, we've been talking with different chiefs, including Grand Chief Norton and Grand Chief Awashish, you know, in recent weeks. But we really couldn't key in on, you know, the type of action that we were wanting to go because, as we said earlier, there are different point of views. They need to be respected. And we wanted something that would really bring, you know, our peoples together. And so we agreed that this is 2 days ago that the best way to do it and maybe the first action is really to organize a march and that march be led by the leadership, the chiefs. So we're going to be calling all chiefs to participate. It's a challenge in terms of, you know, logistics and time, but we're confident that, you know, we'll have a strong show as well. We're going to be promoting, you know, that initiative with, you know, support groups within the city of Montreal so that they can also mobilize, you know, their membership and you know, because they're really, you know, our allies and they need to be there and they believe in our case. So all of that will be done in the coming days. Cabot Square in Montreal will be where the march will be starting. We have yet to determine what the route will be, but it's going to end at Cabot Square as well. So it's a matter of determining the route for that march. And I think, again, you know, it's one thing to ask your peoples to participate. It's something else to explain as well as you can to them, you know, why they are being called on. It's very key in my view, you know, because I've seen too many protests in the past where people show up and, you know, they don't really know, you know, what they're there for. So it's important, you know, for this community here as well as the other communities to know where the chiefs stand. And to me, that call will also trigger, we're hoping, calls across the country to do the same. Because as of October 9th, we'll have 10 days to make a difference. And more importantly, parties will have 10 days to make a difference in terms of our issues.
And Chief Awashish, what are you hoping to see in your communities, given that you're so north and maybe not as visible as a community like Ganawage?
Yeah, but they just learned yesterday that we were going to do that. So we organized one bus so far from our office there. And I need to talk to our chiefs to see if what they can do, if they have the resources to do the move to bring people down here. So from now, I cannot really say much what they want to do exactly, but I know from my part that we're going to organize one bus.
All right. Joe.
Take what Gisla has mentioned about cross-country. What I hope is, and that's the kind of message that I'm going to be sending out, is people in various parts of the country, will know about the rally, the demonstration, the march in Montreal, and what we're hoping is to do the same thing in major centers elsewhere, Toronto, you know, Ottawa, Hamilton, and Vancouver, and every province. Hopefully, there will be major rallies in major centers, all as concurrently as possible, all with the same message: we're dissatisfied with the relationship with Canada. And this is our way of showing to you that we can control things in Canada, too, if we want to. Here, again, we haven't gotten down to the details, but I'm sure there's something we can do. I mean, there's highways, there's bridges, there's the seaway, there's the train that passes through here. All those sorts of things. Pick one, pick a number of them, or do all of them. You know, all for a 2-hour period. Or whatever that may be. I don't know yet, but we are going to have to discuss that further. We've talked about it on a number of occasions since I informed the council that there was going to be this national movement, and the ideas are there and the support is there. Now it's a question of the how to do it, you know, and what to pick, and basically on the same day as the 9th.
Previously, I mean, Gunawag has seen its share of, demonstrations, shall we say. And we, like you said, we have a lot of options. Usually when, we do something along these lines, it's a little bit more of a grassroots initiative. Mm-hmm. Are you hoping to see some of the same, you know, mobilization of the community, not necessarily related to directly underneath direction of the council?
Definitely. We can provide the security. We can provide all of the things that are necessary, you know, to assist. And we would love to have a grassroots movement take charge of this and be out there actively supporting what we have asked for nationally.
Okay. So right now, the First Nations Count Day of Action, is this just something that's going to be in Quebec, or do you know of any other communities across the country that are planning to participate outside of Quebec?
Well, that has to be yet confirmed, and I've been in contact with some of my colleagues at the national level, so I have some of my colleagues who know about today, because today is really the kickoff. You know, we're trying to organize and secure, you know, the best possible turnout for October 9th. And you referred earlier to Idle No More, which is essentially, grassroots movement. And we'll certainly use all the channels available to make sure that people, show up in great numbers, and hoping that it will, as I said earlier, trigger other actions. And, you know, people will maybe decide on what means are deemed appropriate to express themselves. And again, you know, it's not really a challenge to one party. It's not even a challenge to the current government, although we know where people stand. It's a challenge to Canada as a state. And I think we have to keep that high road, and out of respect for our own nations and where they need to be standing. So it is a challenge in terms of logistics and organizing the march itself, but we're up for it. We're going to stay the course until the 9th.
So earlier you mentioned that this is really to influence Canadian voters, not necessarily the parties. Are you hoping to get any sort of formal acknowledgement of the Day of Action from any of the parties that are running in the federal election?
Well, we didn't make specific requests to groups out there. The request that we're making today, as we did early in the campaign, and as recently as last week, from the parties is, come clean as to, where you see our issues. It's, to me, our issues are more important than just one, electoral promise, here and there during the campaign. As we said earlier, we have a very unique relationship with the state, with the Crown, and I think political parties have to live up to that. And so we are asking on them to present us with a plan, not on education one day, on housing another day, a complete plan, you know, from A to Z, how they intend to redress, you know, the situation of our peoples across the country.
All right. We have to wrap everything up. We're coming to the end of the hour. I want to thank all three of you for coming in. It was a pleasure to have so many handsome men in the studio. That's our show.
Ross.
Not just Ross. So that's our show for today, Ganawage. I want to thank you. And actually, if there's, I don't want to just thank Ganawage. There could be other communities tuning in as well. Maybe people in Montreal. I want to thank all of you for tuning in.